Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets. And what a week it's been, kind of across the board for a couple different markets, Rob. Let's run through some weekly numbers real quick and glance at a couple charts and see where the markets are sitting. So starting off with gold, as we tend to do, gold up about 2.5% so far this week, sitting at $2,756. Now, the reason that's interesting to me is because we're only about $35 away from the previous all-time highs that we hit last fall. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at closing in on those high water marks for gold, and that's going to be a story that comes up again here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So silver, moving over to silver, relatively lackluster in silver this week, up a little under 1%. It's still holding strong above $30, actually closing in on 31. That's $30.85. We've got a ways to go for silver to get back to not its all-time highs. I'm not even going to ask it to do that quite yet, Rob. Not its all-time highs, but at least just its previous highs from last year. We're still 13% to go, about $4.
Yeah.
Just to get to that $34, $35 range. So silver's got a way to go. Similar story with platinum. Platinum did bump up pretty decently this week, up 2.8%, sitting at around $960. It is $93 away from its highs last year, about 9% to go. So similar story to silver. Palladium, the sister metal, doing a little bit better, up 3.9%. It did inch above $1,000 today. So the fist fight between platinum and palladium is still going strong. Palladium taking a short-term lead here. However, when you stretch that chart out a little bit, palladium has $248 to go to get to last year's highs, about 25%. So platinum a little bit closer in the long run, but palladium having a stronger week this week. Now, I mentioned we'd be talking about some all-time highs again when we mentioned gold a minute ago. However, we're going to do that when we look at the S&P, as the S&P is just scraping those all-time highs this week, sitting right now up 2% on the week at 6,091 and sitting at those previous highs. Mm-hmm. And then finally, this is on the back of a pretty strong dollar move up over the last couple of weeks, but the dollar is actually down a little under 1% this week, although still sitting above 108. It's at 108.22. The dollar is also sitting kind of on a floor that we've sort of set since Christmas. We've come back down to a couple times, so we are at a bit of a break point for the dollar. Would it push down a little bit more? But Rob, I think the story here this week is kind of what we're seeing both in gold and the equities markets.
Yeah, because gold has just been relentlessly moving higher since we dipped down. Of course, we had that short-term dip right after the election, which we talked about, and then it rallied and had a fist fight. Where did it rally to after the election? What number was that?
So going back just prior to the election, we were sitting at about 2790, I think it peaked out at, came all the way down to 2540. So it's a pretty significant decline there between, well, it was like 2 weeks, right? October 30th down mm-hmm. to about like November 13th or 14th. And then we had a couple rallies up. We had a pretty immediate rally back up to 2720, played around for a little bit in the 26s. Came up again to 2720s, back down to around 2600. So we had some up and downs there, pretty significant over a couple weeks.
Yeah, because we got down to around 2585, 2590.
Right around December 18th.
And then ever since then, it's just been grinding higher.
Yeah, it's been a slow march, real consistent, steady march. I think our biggest day was maybe $40 or $50. Mm-hmm. So not a ton of volatility, just some pretty consistent growth upwards.
And that led to the commitment of traders, and you've got that pulled up because it looks like the speculative money, the managed money, is long, what, 200,000 contracts, did you say?
Yeah, it's pretty significant. So there's a couple categories I like to look at when I do check out the commitment of traders. And this is last week's report. So part of this may explain kind of why we've seen that long grind is the managed money long category sitting at about 221,000 contracts. and a paltry 9,000 short contracts.
So they are really betting long, and it has paid off. I mean, this is leveraged contracts. You're talking big leverage from a low at the end of the year to where we are now within just a handful of days to the all-time highs. And then the institutional money, the people that actually own physical metal, you know, they're short 40,000 contracts?
It's about 70. 70. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you look at the other category I like to look at on the COT report, the Commitment of Traders report, is the producers, merchants, processors, end users, so on and so forth. The reason we look at that is obviously they're the ones literally with their finger on the market because they're the ones that actually own the physical product. So you are correct. It is typical that the producers, merchants, they actually generally hold more short contracts than long. And the reason being is they're offsetting or hedging the inventory that they own. You know, we as a gold dealer, we do the same thing.
Right. Yeah. We stay at parity with the market. And that's hard for our clients to understand because we hold a lot of inventory and we will short ounces of gold and ounces of silver versus all the ounces of gold and ounces of silver that we own. And so that way, as clients call us and say, hey, I want to buy Eagles or 100-ounce bars or Krugerrands, you know, we just unwind the hedge and we are at market.
Yeah, it allows us to not have to worry about price adjustments affecting our capital as a company.
Right.
As the spot price of gold and silver moves up. That's how we're able to sell gold at whatever the market price is, regardless of what we took it into our inventory for.
Correct.
So the producers, merchants, they do the same thing. So you're looking at about 40,000 long contracts versus 112,000 on the short side. So that's actually not too heavily skewed. You know, you're looking at 2.5 to 1 short to long contract, which is an astronomical short on their part. But man, 220,000 to 9.
Long versus short.
Right.
Yeah.
For your managed money position is pretty significant.
And you're not talking about people that own inventory typically. These are people that are just betting on either the rise or the fall of the metal. So as we move towards this double top all-time highs, it's so hard to predict where it goes from here. We are within days of gold retesting, say, $2,790, the all-time high. At what point does the managed money, basically the speculative money, take their profits and exit? Don't know.
Yeah, and that's a real good question. You know, do we see managed money say, hey, we got in back in December on those contract pricing. We're going to look for some exits here around the previous all-time high, take our profit and run.
Because that's what they're in it for.
Yeah, of course. That's the whole point of owning those contracts if you're not offsetting existing product.
Right.
Like most investments, it's buy low, sell high. So why wouldn't you? Sounds like a plan to me.
We'll see.
Oh, we'll see. No, we'll definitely see.
This time next week, we could see a fistfight up around the all-time highs and see some more volatility.
Well, since Tory couldn't be with us this week, and one of his favorite things to do is speculate on kind of high side potential versus low side potential, we'll give him a reason to listen to the show this week, even though he couldn't join us for recording. I know he's on a trip this week. So let's pretend we do have an unwinding of those managed money, you know, the profit taking position as we inch closer to those highs that we put in at the end of last year, back in October. You know, what are some of the pricing levels we could look at on the downside for gold? I think that in the very short term, you know, if we're just talking like a mild sell-off of those long contracts, I think you could be looking at gold coming down to some of the lows we put in post-election, November, December, you know, in the 2,500 range. I think that would be a pretty moderate reversal right there. And what that really would end up doing is it would end up setting up some sideways trading, which we may be in for a couple of months here. We've been between, let's say, 2,800 rounded and 2,500.
Okay.
You know, and it's possible we could see some trading sideways in that $250, $300 range for a period of time.
Yeah, because one thing we are not looking at is the speculative money having to cover their short position. That's not their position. They are, golly, 20 to 1 long.
Right.
A short covering rally is very explosive when the speculative money is like, holy moly, gold is relentless. It's breaking through upper resistance. We better cover our shorts. And that's when you see a short covering rally taking gold to ridiculously high numbers versus where it started from. We're not seeing that this time around. My thinking is that we will see profit taking and a modest decline.
Sure. And I agree with you. I think option one is probably our most likely option. But for the fun of the game, I got two more for you. So I got two more for you, Rob. Second potential option, we still haven't had a real pullback in gold in a very long time.
Wow. Yeah, it's been a while.
And even if you just kind of look at some intermediate term movement here, say going back to the floor we put in at the end of 2022 before we started climbing, which takes us all the way back to the 1600s. Do you remember that floor, Rob? It actually wasn't that long ago.
No.
So, well, that's going to give us a couple little correction levels, probably right around like 2350. Would be a very shallow correction, which is kind of scary. A $500 decline is considered shallow. You could be looking at something maybe in the 2200s and then all the way back down to the previous kind of post-COVID highs around 2075. So there's a couple different levels in there where if gold were to have a dramatic turnaround, which would still be healthy. You know, don't get me wrong. The gold price, despite inflation, we had a 28% rise last year. We've had this phenomenal movement in the price of gold over the last number of years. It's perfectly healthy for things to take a breather. Now, I'm not necessarily in the camp
predicting
that I think
that,
this.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if I believe option two will happen, but let's keep it as a potential.
Well, even if it does, there's still great opportunity. Option two taking us to 1600, and let's pretend that silver has its big boy pants on and holds at 30. That pushes us back down in the silver gold ratio of 50 something, 53, 52 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold. And then we have some ratio trade opportunities. But I'm with you. I think the BRICS demand and central bank demand is going to be stepping in down. You know, we get any kind of pullback, a reasonable pullback down, let's say into the 2500s, you'll start seeing more central banks stepping in because they have been buying a lot of physical.
Yep.
So I'm not too worried about gold dropping down below 2500. If it does, okay, let's see what opportunities that presents. But in the meantime, I am looking for maybe a chance for some of the money that's parked on the sidelines to step in a couple $300 cheaper than where we are now.
Yep. Now, here's the downside to the money on the sidelines argument, Rob. You ready for option three?
Option three is the blow off above 2,800, and it just...
Option three is concerning too, especially if you're the guy that's been waiting for that perfect pullback.
Which never
happens. Never guaranteed. So best I can ever do, I'm sure there are smarter people out there than me, but best I can ever do when I'm looking at untested territory, murky waters, so to speak, areas where we've had pricing that's never been there before, is try to kind of extrapolate out where certain correction levels would line up with where trading has been. For instance, like if we go up to a certain price and then we have a correction back down from there, what are the types of prices that you would end up seeing, you know, some fistfights to sort of hold ground at? Well, my next upside target in the gold price is putting us above 3,500.
Yeah.
And you can draw this out on the chart. You sort of extrapolate that price out and you can kind of see, well, your 382 fib, your 50% line, your 618, your 786, you know, you get up to around 35.25, 3550, and you can kind of see where those lines are going to meet up with where we have already had some conflict in the price up and down. you know, some floors and ceilings, so to speak. So that gives us some more options to where if and when we ever do have a big correction, there's going to be standing orders there. There are people that have already placed trades there, and it's going to give some credence to some levels that kind of can hold that water without spilling any. So hopefully this makes sense as you're seeing it on the chart here. That's the third option.
And that's not inconceivable, Miles. I mean, we talked about that. David McIlvaney brought up a good point. We're renaming the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. We're letting Canada know we'll take them on as a 51st state. And these are two of our biggest trading partners. These are so-called allies. Mm-hmm. And then our adversaries, let's just call them adversaries, you know, they're concerned about the new administration as America is caught up in big tech and big business and Wall Street really running the numbers. Hey, this is going to be great. We're going to see an industrial revolution again here in America. The blue sky is out and there's a lot of euphoria, but there's a lot of leverage. I mean, our PE ratios in the stock market are at ridiculously high levels. We're running out of money. If you look at what it costs to pay the interest on the debt and our transfer payments, you know, the entitlements just in this last quarter, we've already exceeded government revenue by over 10%. So we're spending more than we're taking in.
Right.
If this administration isn't able to stay on this glorious new day track, the financial markets and the rest of the world are recalibrating their approach, either our allies or our adversaries, and we're not in a position of strength financially. So all that to say, we could actually see gold break above 2,800 and top out in the mid 3,000s, 3,500, 3,550 range before we see a meaningful correction. So there's so much happening right now. It's going to be fascinating to sit where we sit in the one asset that people know they can put their trust in long term. You know,
sure.
If people are sitting with money on the sidelines and they don't know what to do, it doesn't matter if you buy gold at 2,800 or 2,200 or 3,500. If you don't have any, you really should start getting in.
If you're right, and if we're looking at America first politics built on top of soft dollar economics, well, that's what you end up having. Is you end up having that inflation where that 10% overspend, that number is just going to get bigger every
single week. And that's the 10% overspend just on entitlements and interest payments.
Right.
That doesn't leave any money for anything else other than those two line items. So, yeah, we're not dealing in a position of fiscal strength right now.
Yeah. So I think I want to go back and amend what I said a minute ago. I don't think I just gave three options of what could happen in gold. I think what I did is I gave two options of what could happen in gold and one option of what will. Because that third option of us pushing
is
the higher
going
prices,
to happen.
Yeah, that can happen tomorrow. That can happen after option one, where maybe we sit here in a little trading pattern and you get the opportunity to add to ounces over the next couple of months. Or that could happen after we have a nice big option two, which I'm not buying, but let's pretend it does happen.
Yeah.
We get a nice big correction, allows us to back the truck up, so to speak. But ultimately, if that's the direction politically, economically, we're choosing to go, $3,500 gold isn't that far away.
It's not option three, it's reality three.
Fair. I'll take it.
Well, that's it for me this week, Miles.
I think I'm good too, Rob. Next week's hopefully going to be a fun show.
I think so.
I want to see $30 in gold over the next week. It'll probably happen tomorrow before I even get the show out.
Yeah.
So often that we've talked about something recorded on a Wednesday, and by the time we get the show published on Thursday, it's already done. So we'll see. So apologies if you're hearing this in the future and we're talking about something that already happened. But yeah, I think that's it for me as well. So I guess that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, do the YouTube button push and stuff. It does help us out. You can always swing by our website. We can be found at McIlvaney.com. We're also on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to talk to us about your personal portfolio, feel free to give us a call. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9555. 1.56. Thanks for joining us and have a great week.